You're doing well. It's good to have him. Thank you so much now, Brother Gert, for the message.
Thank you, my brother. Good evening. Good to see each one of you here this evening. Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, I'd like for you to turn with me, please, to the 14th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Just before we read God's Word, let's just look to the author of the Word. Our Father, we thank you for this precious time that we've spent already in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for all that has been said. We know, God, that as we come and we gather in this way, we come with but one purpose in mind, and that is to give you the praise and the honor and the glory that's due you. And Lord, we are so grateful. Oftentimes, we're not. But we're so grateful to you for your love toward us, for all that you do in our lives, for the prayers that you answer, for the many marvelous things, Lord. And truly we can say that thou art a great and a mighty God. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you most of all for giving us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is because of him and through him that we can gather here this evening, that we can open your Word and that we can allow you to speak to our hearts from it. I pray, Father, that as we open your Word and share it this evening, that, Lord, it will be easy to speak and that the Word will go forth, Father, simple, easy to understand. And, Lord, help us to realize that you're in this place, that your Word is alive. Your Word reminds us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We just commit ourselves now in this service, Lord, and everything that's said or done. May it honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to think this evening, as time allows, on faith's possibilities. Our service has sort of been centered around that this evening. We began our first hymn. We sang about faith. And Brother Freddie, as he spoke, reminded us of his faith that he had, knowing that God was there and God was real. And it's so important in our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to have that faith in him. So often, our faith is so small and our God is so big. Our faith is so small, and our God is so big. And I pray as we read this evening, and as the Lord will speak to us from his Word, that we may be strengthened, that our faith may be encouraged in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Matthew chapter 14, we find there a beautiful story. It says in verse 22, "And immediately Jesus urged his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, or blowing against it. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them." In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And I'm going to stop there this evening for the sake of time. Faith's possibilities. You know, there's an old saying in life that there is always a calm before the storm. And I'm sure that we know about this in our lives that we live in many situations of our own life. And we see here in this passage of Scripture, and it's a beautiful portion of Scripture. Earlier in the passage, we find the Lord Jesus as he feeds the multitudes in verses 15 through 22. We see there, I'm sure that he calmed the nerves of the disciples because they were extremely uptight about feeding that vast number of people. We find him urging his disciples in verse 22 to get into a ship. I'm sure that it was calm there. He wouldn't urge his disciples to leave if it was not so. We see him on the mountain, sitting, praying, talking to his Father. It was calm there. It's always calm in the presence of the Lord Jesus. However, we find out, as we've read in this passage of Scripture this evening, and it happens so often and so quickly in our lives, that in the midst of the calm, and we love calm. As human beings, we would love to live in calm circumstances and situations all of our lives, but we know that it's not so. We know that that just doesn't happen. But the thing about it is that in the midst of that calm, when we least expect it, the winds and the waves and the storms arise in our lives. They just blow up unexpectedly. And they come to us many times in various ways, in various sizes, in various forms of life. They don't come to all of us at the same time. They don't come to us in the same manner. But they come. And they will come. And here we find, as the disciples did on that night, the wind came and the sea tossed. And they were struggling. There's no doubt in my mind about it. For those of you, and Spanish Wales is an area where you need a boat. You have a boat. And we all know how it is to get out there in that rough weather and to be afraid that we're going to sink while the wind is blowing and the waves are just rolling. And so we find that the disciples here this night, they're struggling. They're struggling with the winds. They're struggling to stay afloat. And I can imagine that in their hearts, just as in our hearts, they were crying out, Jesus, where are you? Lord Jesus, where are you? He had sent them out on their own. Now they find themselves in the middle of the lake, in the midst of a storm, and Jesus isn't there. They're probably saying, as you and I might have said, if ever there was a time that I need you, Lord, it's now. It's now. And oh, thank God, in the midst of that storm, the Scripture says, he had been standing on that mountaintop, looking at what was happening in their lives. And it reminds me of the words of that song that we sing so often, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one who cares and understands, and thank God for that. Thank God, because when the storms of our lives arise, so many times we turn around, and there's nobody there. Nobody there. So often we don't have anyone to turn to. We don't have anyone to hold our hands. We don't have anyone to give us peace and comfort. But we can rest assured this evening that he is always there. He's there. We may not see him, but we can feel his presence, and we can rest assured that as his child, he cares and he understands. He was standing that night on that mountain looking at his disciples in the midst of that storm. And you know, that's not the first time that we read of this in the Scriptures. over and over again in the lives of many of God's people. In the scriptures, we read how as they go through these difficult storms in their lives, and many times their faith begins to waver. But in the very end, they realize that their God was always there. We see it over and over and over again, that our God is there, that He cares. The problem is, our faith is so small. Our faith is so small. We try to solve the situations and the circumstances in our own strength and look to what we have about us that will help us to accomplish the ends. And we always come back to that point when we realize that we need God more than anything in our lives. We need God more than anything in our lives. Beloved, He is real. He is real. And He's there all the time. All that He says to you and I is have faith in Me. Have faith. Trust Me. Trust Me. Don't trust the boat. Don't trust what we have around us. But trust Me. And it will come to pass. Oh, beloved, I was thinking this afternoon as reading through this passage of Scripture. Those words as it rang out into my mind, and it will come to pass. And beloved, that's a fact. It will come to pass. We read it over and over again in the Scriptures. In the difficulties of the lives of the believers of God, the Scriptures, and it came to pass. And these situations in our life will pass. But we got to believe in God. We got to have faith in God. We got to trust God. Not just for the big things of life, but for the little things as well, and all of our lives. We've got to trust Him. We've got to believe that He's there. And we've got to understand that He cares and He loves us. These things will come upon our lives. Not that God doesn't love us. God does never bring anything in our lives to hurt us. He loves us. And we might say, well then, why are these situations coming in my life? Why does this happen or that or the other thing? It's because God is allowing you and I to be tested. Not to drive us from Him, but to trust Him and draw us to Him. James 1 and 2. And this is a verse of Scripture that might be very difficult sometimes for you and I to swallow as believers in the Lord Jesus. But He says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And I'm sure that there are situations in our lives many times that we don't think is a joy. But the situations arises in our lives as believers because God loves us and God's each testing us to see how much we love Him. To see how much we trust Him. To see how great is our faith. How much faith do we really have? Is our faith only good as long as we're living in a calm circumstance or a calm environment of our lives? Is that the only time that we have faith in God? Well, that's not the time that God wants us to have faith in Him. He wants us to put our faith in Him when things are bad, when things are going wrong. Trust Him then. Try Him, test Him, prove Him. That's what it's all about. Put our faith in Him. In this passage we read tonight, the storm has come upon the disciples. It's dark. They find themselves struggling to stay afloat, questioning possibly the fact, does Jesus care? Does He know where I am? Sure He does. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's always there. And He allows this to go on for a little while, and we don't know why. We don't know why God allows these things to go on in our lives. And sometimes we never truly understand why. We just got to trust Him. We just got to love Him enough and have faith in Him and believe within our hearts that He knows what is best for my life. It might look like it's going in the opposite direction, but if we trust Him, He's got a reason for it. And it'll come to pass. He'll bring us through it. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I'm sure this evening that many of you have gone through these experiences in your life, and many times it seemed as if we were going under the waves. The billows were high. But we kept the faith, and we trusted God, and He brought us through it. Praise God, and we are better for it this evening. Our lives are richer, fuller, greater, because we trusted Him. We proved Him. We know that He is alive. Look in verse 25. The Scripture says, in the fourth watch of the night. What was Jesus doing all that time? He set the disciples out before dark. The fourth watch of the night is between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, the disciples are out there struggling. Jesus is watching. Does He care? He does. But He's allowing it to happen for a reason. Not understood right then by those disciples, I'm sure. But you and I, as we read it now, we can understand the reasons why. He allowed it to happen for a reason. And in the darkest hours of the night, I've been told that between 4 and 6 in the morning is the darkest hours of the night, just before daybreak. And here we find in those dark hours of the night, Jesus came. Isn't that wonderful? Beloved, take heart this evening if you're here and you're going through what you perceive to be the darkest hours of your life tonight. Remember, Jesus is there and He cares. And He'll see you through it. There is no night that can be so dark that His light cannot brighten it. That He cannot change it. None whatsoever. If we trust Him, if we put our faith in Him. In the darkest hour of the night, Jesus came. In the midst of the storm, Jesus came. But I want you to notice something, though. Jesus came, but there's a problem there. The disciples didn't recognize Him. They didn't recognize Him. And you know why? It happens to the best of us. We become so enveloped, so caught up in the circumstances of our lives that we overlook the fact that our God is a great and a mighty God. We overlook the fact that with our God all things are possible. And we allow the storms of life and whatever the difficulties that we're beset with to begin to overwhelm us. To begin to flood our little boats, begin to make us sink and feel as if we're going under. And we don't recognize that our God is there all the time. The disciples didn't recognize Jesus. They were caught up in their situation of life. Oh, beloved, this is so true. And it happens to all of us. Many times in our lives, because of the simple fact that we're looking to ourselves, that we're looking to what we can do for ourselves. And sometimes we're looking for the big things to happen that's going to prove to us that God is there, when many times He allows the little things to come. That's just as good. And we overlook them. I heard a story, perhaps you heard it, and lots of these stories we know aren't true, but they are reflective of a point that you're trying to make to get across. And a story is told of a believer in the western United States where they had had a flood. And the flood became so great as the water began to rise. It came up to the first story of this man's house and a great truck rolled by. And they offered him a lift. And he said, no, I'm trusting God. And so they went on and they left him. The water rose higher to the second story. A boat came along. And he said the same thing. I'm trusting God to take care of me. The water came a little higher. And he climbed to the rooftop. A helicopter came and they lowered a ladder. And he said the same thing. I'm trusting God. Finally, he drowned. when he arrived at the pearly gates, his question was, why did God allow me to drown? When I trusted him, and the answer was, we tried three times to save you without succession, but you wouldn't accept what God sent you. You see, that's a problem in our lives. We trust in God, but we're not looking for him to send the little things that are great and important in our lives. Oftentimes, we look for the big things. The disciples were looking for land. At that moment, they were looking to save themselves. They were afraid they were going to drown. They didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't recognize him. But he came. And oh, he spoke. Oh, beloved, that voice that speaks, that voice that calms our troubled souls, when in the midst of some of the most difficult times of life, as we cry out to him and we believe in him and we trust him, he sends us a peace and a calm in our lives that cannot be described, that passes all understanding. But it's real because it's a peace of God. It's that peace of God. The scripture says that he spoke. And he said these words, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, beloved, this evening, he's still saying those very same words tonight to you and I as we find ourselves in whatever situation of life we might find ourselves in. He keeps saying to us over and over, be of good courage. Be not afraid. It is I. But beloved, because of our human nature, we don't want to accept it so often. And that's why we need faith. We need to ask God daily to increase our faith. Oh God, give us that faith that we need to trust you, to believe that with you, you can do all things in my life. You can move the mountains. You can do what you want to do. You can do the impossible things. And I want to tell you, when he does, how marvelous, how wonderful. How wonderful. Perhaps tonight you can tell me of many experiences in your life where you've cried out to God in prayer, believing in faith, and you've seen things happen in your life just like that over and over and over again. Beloved, God is real, and it can happen, and it will happen. Many things I've had happen. I shared with some of you an experience that we had about 2 years ago, I think it was, in Florida. And I'll just tell you briefly, just one little part of it. We got locked in a car. My wife, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and I. And I was driving down a dark road because they had told me to run the car fast so that the battery would charge up. And I took a back alley in West Palm Beach that I was familiar with. But it was a mistake. But God sent it for a purpose. We think it was a mistake. I thought it was a mistake. But God used it as a purpose. And that car shut off on us in the middle of this dark road. I knew nobody, no lights, absolutely nothing. A crime watch area. And as that car came to a stop, we heard the locks go down. And I was not man enough to get that car open. Either side. Locked in. And the four of us began to pray. And just as I finished praying, the locks came up. I don't care what anybody says. God can do the impossible. The locks came up. And then different situations that arose that same night. Three times in succession we prayed. And God answered prayer.
And I had a guy tell me the next day they came to pick up that car. He said, the battery was split in half. All of the acid is out of it. How in the world did that car ever start? I don't know to begin with. Listen, trust God. God can do the impossibles in your life. And beloved, it's times when we go through these situations in life that God moves, that encourages our hearts, that gives us faith to trust our God. The disciples were going under. Jesus came and he spoke. He spoke the beautiful words. He says, believe me, trust me, all things are possible. And Peter challenged him. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to thee. And I like the words that Jesus said. He said, come. Oh, beloved, what wonderful word. Come. Come unto me. Come. Test me. Prove me. Try me. See what I can do. And thank God for old Peter. We often say as ministers many times that Peter was quick in the mouth, slow in the brain, had foot and mouth disease. But I want to tell you, Peter was a man that many of us should want to follow. Although he, at one stage of his life, disavowed any knowledge of God. I know him not, but he became a great man of God. And ere he says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you in the water. And Jesus said, come. Oh, beloved, tonight, that's all that we have to do. Listen at those wonderful words of our loving Heavenly Father. Come. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Peter jumped out of that boat, and Peter began to walk on the water. Why? Because at that moment he knew that it was Jesus. He put his eyes upon him. He had faith that his Jesus said, come, and he was going. Nothing else mattered. He started to walk. But then we see the human side. How it happens again, I've already said, again and again. Peter, as he was walking on that water, and I can imagine it was rough. I've heard that on the Sea of Galilee, it gets tremendously rough with the mountains on either side, and the wind just blows down into that lake sometimes, and it gets terrible. And as Peter was going, those waves were rolling towards him. He did something that we so often do. He took his eyes off Jesus. He took his eyes off Jesus. Oh, beloved. You and I, as we walk the road of life, we need to keep our eyes on our Savior. When Peter just took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. He began to sink, but there's also another lesson in that. Because Jesus reached out his hand, and he lifted him up. Peter realized he was sinking, and he said, Lord, save me. You see, we got to realize as well, when these situations come in our lives, that we need the Lord. That we need the Lord. Oh, it's such a beautiful lesson in this for you and I as believers. To show us that we can have faith in the midst of our failures, in the midst of our storms of life. We can trust Jesus. He's the best friend that you and I could ever have. There is no other. Such a friend or brother. Like Jesus Christ. Beloved, tonight, if you know him as your personal Savior, you have that relationship with him, that's the best thing in the world that you and I can have. There is nothing better. There is no one better to know. There is no one better to trust than the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith, your trust in him. Peter said, Lord, save me. He said, I'm right here for you. He reached out and he caught him by the hand. And the scripture says that they together came to the boat and it was a calm. A calm. Oh, beloved. Our God is a mighty God. He's a great and a wonderful God. He loves his children with an everlasting love.
all that he asks you and I. Trust him. Have faith in him. Believe me. No matter what the situation of life might be, even the little things of life are just as important to him as the great big things of life. He wants us to bring to him if we kick our toe or if we chop our head off. Now, those are the extremes. But he wants everything brought to him because he loves us. And he cares for us. And that's the beauty of this Word, the Word of God. In it we can find all we need, the comfort, the assurance that our Savior is always there. Oh, may the Lord bless his Word to our hearts this evening. May we trust him. Trust him. He'll never let us down. Never. We will let him down. But he will never let you and I down. And the only way that we'll ever prove that that is a fact is to trust him and find out for ourselves. May God bless his Word to our hearts for his name's sake. I wonder if we might sing in closing number 426. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord." We'll sing just the first and third stanzas, and the service will be over. God bless you. Thank you for coming this evening. 426.